The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Thursday morning, that makes us on the 5th of March 2020. It is a beautiful, nearly warm day in Dublin, Ireland, which is very, very nice. And as we are early risers, it's always nice to see a bright morning await us. And all I can think of is that it's just getting brighter and better and more beautiful with every day. So despite the fact that the news, excuse me with the microphone for a second, despite the fact that the news is rather grim, we have to keep going on. That thing, keep calm and carry on, keeps coming into my head because my feeling is, and we'll go, I think we'll go corona-free for the next hour, all right? Because I think we've got peak, and that's not to take away from the seriousness of it. I get it completely, but I also think that to an extent, unless it lands on our lap, there's really not much we can do other than pay heed to the warnings that we've been hearing about hour after hour, day after day and week after week, and that's quite correct. So we'll just go steady as she goes. I was talking to a school teacher, principal actually, yesterday, and the feeling was that that children are getting a bit freaked out by the constant talk of it on the radio and on the television and all that. So it's just about explaining it carefully to them and saying there's nothing to be worrying about until it lands on your doorstep, at which point it'll be fixed. That's it. So just a little steady as she goes. There's one just offset and offshoot to the story that is mildly amusing, is that a film starring Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon and Jude Law that everyone had forgotten about, and that in fact was ranked number 270 on on one of these company catalogues for movies, because it was just forgotten completely, is now the second most watched movie online, called Contagion. And people have gone, what? Do you remember that film? Yeah, it's just like that. It's really, I love to watch it. And suddenly a movie that had just disappeared into obscurity is now on people's must-watch list. Contagion. It centres around a mysterious disease that kills a woman after she travels to Hong Kong for business and follows her back to the US, spreading rapidly and killing 26 million people around the world. Now, that's not going to happen here, we hope and pray, but it was very deliberately designed to be a cautionary film, said the producer. We got the science right. And though eerily similar to the current viral outbreak, the writer of the film said that the hysteria in the film is the most important thing to pay attention to. He says the similarities between our contagion and the coronavirus are immaterial, accidental, and really not that important. What is more important and accurate is the societal response and the spread of fear and the knock-on effects of that. And that is proving to be accurate. And that is where we will leave the coronavirus for the next hour, because honest to goodness, there's only so much. Now, what else have we got to? In a few minutes, I'm going to play the Irish Eurovision entry for 2020. Presuming that there will be a Eurovision and there will be a singer and there will be a plane with people on it going to the airport so that she can sing her song. She has been announced and I'm going to play it for you, and I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to ask you anything, I'm just going to say, there it is. See what you think. Do you love it? Do you not like it? Doesn't really matter because it's in there anyway. So the best thing we can all do really is get behind it and support it and fly the flag. So we'll have a listen to that in a few minutes' time. But so hold your horses and then you can watch it as she sings it for us tomorrow on the Late Late Show. So you'll hear it here, then you'll see it tomorrow, and you can make your decisions as we go along. It's a great pop song, that's what we'd say, and I think people are going to like it. Meanwhile, Woody Allen has written a memoir. Where are we with Woody Allen? Are people kind of funny about him, or do you watch his movie still, or have you parked him? Has he been cancelled? Is he... Well, anyway, the memoir is called Apropos of Nothing. And according to RollingStone.com, it's been long considered unpublishable in the wake of the hashtag MeToo movement. But it's coming out next month, April 7th. And his son, Ronan Farrow, one of the people who was one of the three essentially journalists, the architects of the MeToo movement by virtue of their dogged reporting into Weinstein et al. But he has announced that he's separating ties with his own publisher, which happens to be the same group, the Hachette Book Group, for acquiring his father Woody Allen's memoir and concealing the decision from him. He's annoyed about this. So Farrow released Catch and Kill, which many of you will have listened to as much as read. And this was a book about how powerful men, including Woody Allen, avoid accountability for sexual abuse. He wrote, I've also told this publisher that a publisher that would conduct itself in this way is one I can't work with in good conscience. His sister, Dylan, meanwhile, also tweeted about the upcoming memoir, claiming that she did not receive a fact-checking call, which would suggest something. And according to the New York Times, that isn't uncommon in book publishing. Ronan Farrow, of course, was on with us not too long ago talking about his book Catch and Kill. A very articulate man, Mia Farrow being his mother. The book is a comprehensive account, this is back to Woody Allen's account, of his life, both personal and professional. Describes his work in films, theatre, television, nightclubs and print. And he writes of his relationships with family, friends and the loves of his life. If you're a fan or not a fan, would you read it? Would you be curious or would you find it a little queasy? Not so sure. I mentioned that I had popped into the Famine Museum in Strokestown in Roscommon over the weekend. And one of the amazing things about that is Strokestown House. So the woman who last lived there, pretty much 1981, packed a small bag, left the house, out the gates, and the house is as she left it. So you have this strange time capsule of a house. There's nothing Downton Abbey about it. It's Downton shabby in that sense, but in a very beautiful way. It's grey and it's dark and it's creepy and it's magnificent. And there's right up to the children's room where they were taught how to teach, two little desks with a blackboard and map of the world as it would have been in the 20s or 30s, because the house has accumulated things that go from the 19th century right up to 1981 and then it stops. Very, very interesting decor, everything in situ, paintings, tables. The kitchen is a place of fascination. It's like something from Gosford Park, if you've seen that film. And it's just one of those. And then you've got the museum itself and a canteen and restaurant there as well. You won't be bored. But the reason I mention it is that the man who bought it, I think he owned a local garage and he kept it that way and to his credit. But he came across, by accident, heaps and heaps of documents about the famine, by chance. And again, they're now being kept and stored and minded. Why am I saying all this? Well, because these documents, people come across them and they fascinate me. And Owen English is writing in the Irish Examiner today about a developer who discovered historic papers inside safes at a former brewery site. Developers BAM are toasting the discovery of treasure trove of historic documents during its multi-million restoration and redevelopment of what was once Ireland's largest brewery. The raft of documents, one which dates from the 1790s, was found inside safes that which were retrieved from the landmark and listed counting house building on the site of the former Beamish and Crawford brewery complex in the medieval heart of Cork. And the hall includes several old maps, dozens of legal documents, mortgage and lease papers linked to the property all over the city, as well as old unsigned checkbooks and ledgers linked to the brewing company's operations. But the picture of the documents, that is like Indiana Jones finding diamonds in a mine. It's a beautiful thing to come across and blow the dust off them and get stuck in. So that's good news. Joe Biden is looking good for the nomination. I mean, it's Biden and Bernie, isn't it? Really, the two B's heading towards to get the nod for the Democrats. But the nice piece in the Star today about Biden, it goes back into memory lane about the week he was made a senator. And it should have been the happiest moment of Joe Biden's life. Instead, the man who is now tipped to take on Donald Trump as the Democratic Party candidate in this year's US presidential election was faced with the reality that his whole family were either in hospital or dead. I mean, I don't know if you know the background. I'll give it to you now, but it was December 1972 and Biden was 29 years old, so young, and had been elected to the Senate the month before, which is unimaginable at that age, but fair play. And then he got the call that changed everything. His first wife and his daughter were killed in a car crash, and his two sons were injured and taken to the hospital, and one with possible permanent brain damage. Imagine. And having to keep going. And then, you probably know about his son, Beau, died of brain cancer aged 46. And that was just 4 years ago, or 5 years ago in 2015. And Biden said after that, he said, "For the first time in my life, I understood how someone could consciously decide to take their lives by suicide. Not because they were deranged, because they'd been to the top of the mountain and they just knew in their heart they'd never get there again, that it was never going to be that way ever again. That's how an awful lot of you feel. The ache in the back never goes away," he says. "And just when you think, maybe I'm going to make it, you're riding down the road and you pass a field and you see a flower and it reminds you, or you hear a tune on the radio, or you just look up in the night, you know, you think, maybe I'm not going to make it," because you feel at that moment the way you felt the day you got the news. Biden said he was saved when he got a call from an acquaintance who had lost his own wife and gave Biden a strategy. Keep a calendar. Write down every day how you feel, and in a few months you'll see those dark days will grow further and further apart. And that's what kept him going. And now he's happily married to Jill. Jill Biden is his wife. And she was very useful to Joe at a victory speech, because the stage was stormed by vegan protesters, as it happens. And the security detail didn't get involved, but I'll tell you who did. Resplendent in green jacket, Jill Biden. And she's picked in a lot of the papers today, pushing this supporter away and protecting her husband. Now that's quality domestic arranging, I would have thought. That's good, good old story. I met Joe Biden once, and I had introduced him onto his to a thing, and they said, "Could you meet him afterwards?" And I said, "No, I can't, because I had to dash off." And he, very kindly, I was at an event that night, the American Ireland Fund dinner, and afterwards they said, "Actually, he'd like to say hello to you because you did that thing earlier." I said, "Geez, I'd be honoured." As it happens, I was with one of my sisters. And they led us down little tunnels. He'd be out in a second. Sure enough, he came out. And I said, "Well, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you." Boys had been kind of watching him down through the years on Meet the Press when he was either a candidate or a senator, whatever it might be. And I'd introduced him. I said, "This is my sister, Rachel." And he said, "Ah." He said, and turned to me, he said, "Now we have something in common." I said, "Really?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "We both have sisters who are better looking than us." I thought, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. And off he went, bounded off. A very, very amicable, or friendly person, and a nice guy with it. Right, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. The Eurovision, shall we do it? Let's have a listen and see what we've got. Let me tell you about Sandra Mallon writing in the Irish Star today. Ireland's Eurovision song has been revealed, and the singer is Balbriggan, artiste. Leslie Roy. There's a great name. Leslie Roy. And Star has previously revealed that the songstress had been chosen to represent the annual song contest in Rotterdam this May. And we at RTE have confirmed this year's act. And Leslie said she is determined to bring Eurovision glory back to Ireland with her song Story of My Life. She's 33 years old. And this is the song.
I don't care what you say.
And then she disappears like that, like a, like when you used to turn off the TV. It was, but that is Leslie Roy, and that is a proper pop song, and representing Ireland in the Eurovision for 2020. And we'll meet her tomorrow night alongside my old mate Barry Keoghan. What a great actor he is, and he's good fun. He's joining us with rising star Niamh Alger on The Late Late Show tomorrow. And two of my favourite singers on The Late Late Show tomorrow, Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott from Beautiful South, not only singing their new song, which I'm going to play for you later, but also singing bits of their hits, which is very exciting. I went to see them in Trinity College. They did a gig during the summer, and lo and behold, they're joining us on the show tomorrow night. That's exciting, as is Liam Cunningham, another terrific guy and a great actor. Charlie McGettigan keeping the Eurovision show on the road for us, and a man with a great story also. So we've lots happening tomorrow. Keeping on our theme of celebrating the best of Ireland and the Irish, and then it's all roads leading to Limerick for our essentially our Patrick's Day show in some ways on the 13th, and that is tomorrow week, which is exciting. And thank you, by the way, I should say, to Limerick for the welcome. We're really feeling that sense, and Munster broadly speaking, that you're excited we're coming, and we're excited we're going to be there, and we've got invitations to so many places. We are going to try and pack in everything. I really mean it. We're going to be like crazy people wandering around but getting stuck in. Okay, it's freezing fog in Kilcullen. Well, we'll send you some sun, so wait for it. It's on the way. Send some sun our way, please. It's -1 and very heavy fog here in Kildare. Okay, we'll work on that. It's ironic how the film Contagion has gone viral. Very good. Yeah, very quick. Well done on a free hour not to talk about the... yes, I will pray for those affected. There are people walking around either before or after the viral pneumonia and not a word. I would take the coronavirus over Woody Allen any day. Shania Twain meets Katy Perry meets Taylor Swift. I love it, says Paul. I think that's a very fair analysis. And I tell you something, if you're going to represent Ireland at the Eurovision and have those names being bandied about beside your song, there's nothing wrong with that. Lily McGough has been on by text. I am a counsellor, a psychotherapist in Mullingar. As anxiety is already a huge issue for clients, the constant media coverage and hype of COVID-19 virus is really adding to it. There's a brilliant article, she says, in Psychology Today to help us all gain a healthier, more intelligent perspective on it. My advice, wash hands, keep calm and carry on. I think there's a truth in that too. Katy Perry's younger sister, says Sean in Wexford. Yeah, sounds like Pink, says another. That's all. They're all good comparisons. We'll take those. Another says, I never thought I'd say this about a Eurovision song, but that's very catchy. Quite anthemic. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, you say. Oh, a touch of Taylor Swift about it, says another. And I really like it, says Liam in Rathcoole. Has that Eurovision feel to it. It has to win. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be good for Ireland and for us all to have a little Eurovision victory? Or even just to do really well would be great. Finn says, that's a good song, but get them to tone down the backing track. It sounds like a CD skipping. That could be you getting old and that being the sound of our times. I'm not quite sure, but you could be quite right. I just don't know enough. Grace in Cabra says, my one-year-old is loving the Irish entry, Dancing Around the Kitchen, but I have to admit that the Iceland entry, which I've been hearing about, is the winner for me. If you get a chance, watch the video that's going viral at the moment. I was reading about it at the weekend, and it is the talk of the town. Now, we have to also mention this morning a few things. Oh, here they are. Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, I know. I've got it. The Ryan Tuberty Show, that's us, and paddypower.com, that's them. They want to send you and three of your friends to Cheltenham next week, flying to Birmingham Airport bright and early on Thursday, the 12th of March. You'll be treated to breakfast on arrival and then transported by coach to enjoy St. Patrick's Thursday at Cheltenham, including the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. And to win the prize, you need to answer as many general knowledge questions in 1 minute with the Paddy Power Chase. And honestly, they were brilliant yesterday. They got loads of questions right. And the listener who gets the most questions right wins the prize. And then all you have to do is pick three of your friends to go with you. So give us a call on 1850 715 900. And all we ask is that you're festival ready. Valid passport. Don't forget that. You think you've got this, you mightn't. So just quadruple check and make sure you're over 18 so you can check your passport, check your birth cert if you're troubled by that request. Please gamble responsibly. We say that with meaning. And for support and information, see dunlewy.net. Terms and conditions apply. So, Brian and Glenties went to see 1917, brilliant movie depicting the horror of World War One. What struck me, though, was how the two soldiers looked after each other in such horrific circumstances. Well, it's all about Band of Brothers and all that. I've just made my day and my Friday night. I'm a huge fan of Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott. I'm looking forward to their concert in April. I love the show, says Louise. They're just, do you know what they are? I've met them before a couple of times. They're good people. And he's a poet. I mean, his music is just beautiful. And she has a gorgeous voice. They're the most unaffected people you could possibly meet. And yeah, they're a joy. They're a joy. Brilliant, says he on the Eurovision. Potential Eurovision gold. You're loving that song, which is great news. Sun shining in Westport, meanwhile, with Crowpatrick topped with snow. And it's magical, says Colette. I keep accessing in my mental hard drive the sights I saw at the weekend of the 12 pins with the sun hitting it and the snow on some of the peaks. It was just endlessly beautiful. So that's good news all round. Okay, 51551 is the text. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We should say that in the aftermath of what the Road Safety Authority say was one of the worst weekends on our roads, the news bulletins and headlines were just awful, and with further deaths this week, we are thinking of anyone, families and friends of people who've lost loved ones in these horrible, awful circumstances. The drama of just having people snatched away from you so cruelly and must be so hard to comprehend. So we're thinking of you this morning because our guest today has had her own experiences of such loss and the questions left unanswered and the grief carried afterwards. That goes on and on, as you can understand. We're going to hear from her after this break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Lovely texts on different things we've been talking about this morning. So thank you for those. We'll get to them in a moment. And I know a lot of people listening in their offices and the workplace. So I want to say a big happy birthday to Fiona Murphy, who's listening in today, the keeper of the cars. And she has a special birthday, and her friends, family and crew wanted to say hi to her. So I'm happy to join in that celebration. And then in another office down the other end of Ireland in Arklow, there's a group of people led by Marie Dempsey. And she wrote me lovely a letter to say that recently in one of your morning radio programmes, you had a piece on the revival and renewed popularity of the Aran sweater, which always intrigues me, and currently seen in the film industry. She says, my ear is pricked up immediately. In Arklow, the ICA branch have also revived their own tradition of the local Arklow Gansey, which is particular to Arklow and worn by our fishermen and sported by our sailors in ports all over the world in times past. I'm enclosing the leaflet that accompanied the launch of the Ganzi and Arklow Library on June 2019. At the launch, we presented a beautiful replica of the Ganzi to the Maritime Museum and the Asgard Theatre. And, you know, it's a lovely piece that you sent me, because I was reading about it and how the Ganzi, much like the Scottish kilt, would have a pattern that was particular to a particular county or port, so in Arklow, but also the grisly fact that I wasn't aware of, that the knitting can sometimes be so tight on the basis that if a body was lost at sea, it would keep the corpse together. That is a piece of information I did not know. But I also didn't know that the Aran sweater was particular to certain places. And even recently I mentioned that I was in the Kilkenny shop before Christmas, and I found myself purchasing an Irish company jumper called from Ireland's Eye. And it was a particular jumper called the Aran Rocky Ground Roundstone Sweater. And the reason I mention that is because it's fully Irish, very beautiful, like a fisherman's jumper. Not quite the Aran sweater that I got in Standoons near Spittal in Connemara. But these are all beautiful local Irish, as you call them, Ganzis, that stretch from, whether it's from all the fishing ports and villages around the country on the island nation. And it's very, very beautiful. And I'm just delighted to see them coming back again, featuring in runways around the fashion capitals of the world, but also in movies too. So that's a welcome development. And you can dig out your old one from the attic or the back of the press, because they're in. OK. Did you know, text says, that Joe Biden cut the sod for Mayo Roscommon Hospice in Castlebar in 2018. He was a gentleman and the hospice is now ready. Good news. Another Joe Biden, says Patrick Ryan, who's not a fan of Joe Biden, it would appear, is known as Mr. Malaprop or a gaff machine. Maybe a dangerous man to have in the White House. President Trump hasn't invaded or bombed any countries, unlike Bush, Obama, Clinton, and largely kept the peace. So maybe leave that well enough alone. You know what? We could be here all day talking about that. So you're dead right. We will leave it well enough alone. Now, on the interview I just had with Olivia, Texas, RIP Mick Foley, a great funny man, from a schoolmate and footballer, Wesley Gallagher. So thank you for that. It's nice for you to remember him. Moira in Cork said, my young adult children tell me that none of their age group would dream of drink driving, but that many of their peers now take drugs and drive, all types of drugs. I'm not saying this was the cause of any of the recent fatalities on our roads, but I'm afraid it is a new danger we now have to face on our roads. It is very serious. It's interesting you should say that, because I saw a headline saying somebody done for drug driving, which to me is a new headline, but very much one that is clearly needs to be watched. I'm crying, says a text in my kitchen. My dad was killed in a car accident 34 years ago. No answers, but our family broken. I'm not remotely surprised to hear that. And I'm so sorry for your loss and your troubles. 34 years on, it probably feels like yesterday, I've no doubt. And I hope you get some love today and a hug at the very least, but mind yourself, and thank you for getting in touch. I recall, says the text, a hit and run in 1996. I recall it so vividly, as I had to attend the inquest. It included my own brother's death. I was 20, and I will never forget how unjust it was that the way he died. And I'm sad for Michael's family. It's like I heard it for the first time again. So sorry for you all. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, it's not easy, but we have to also remember people and remember that we have to be careful. Drive safely, because you'll get there. Don't be in a mad rush. You'll get there. The time now is 14 minutes to 10. We'll take some music now. Yeah, let's do that, because I mentioned Paul Eaton and Jackie Abbott. I better get that right tomorrow. I'll probably end up calling them Jessica Rabbit. Anyway, they were Beautiful South and the House Martins, two of my favourite singers and songwriters. And this is their new song, which is rather good.